If you have a mustache or a driver's license, you don't belong back there. Unless you're teaching, yeah. You know, we're going to talk about allegiance today. And the allegiance and dependence, that's two strong words. You know, there was a mini-series out called The Sons of Liberty. It's for sale now. And if you really want to get one, let you see some of the hardships. There's several. One is about a 10-week mini-series or 12 weeks, and it's called John Adams. It was awesome. My wife and I, you know, we tried to watch it all at once. You can't watch 10 weeks in one sitting. But we did watch it, and it was amazing the stuff that was going on. And I believe, honestly, that was probably the one that showed, like the Bible, it showed what the Patriots did, but at the same time showed all the bumps and the bruises and the pimples. Sons of Liberty, also, that's just come out not long ago. And you see how much people had to go through to help secure our liberty, and even as recently as the one about the Alamo and Texas Rising. Again, it showed all the bumps and the bruises, but it showed the patriotism and what people did to get us, to win us our freedom. And it's an amazing thing what guys have done. You know, and I've decided, and I've seen in this lifetime, that allegiance can be a cheap thing. Patriotism can be a cheap thing. It's like I'll be a legion as long as I will allege to a cause or purpose as long as it's helping me. But if it's causing me pain, then I don't necessarily want to do it. You know, I did hear this little story one time about this woman. Her husband died, and so she loved him dearly. She was obligated to him, and so she wrote a 4-page obituary. She sent it to the newspaper. Newspaper said that'll be 25 cents a word. So she said, wow. She said, let me, 25 cents a word? I got 4 pages here for an obituary. She said, let me massage a little bit, wordsmith a little bit. So she went, but she went, sent it back and said, then just put John Smith died. And they said, no, ma'am, it's 25 cents a word, 7-word minimum. So she said, okay, put this in there. John Smith died, 88 Chevy for sale. You know, as long as it's not hurting you, you know, a lot of times we're all in. I hear it all the time. Yeah, let's go. But as soon as it starts to hurt, we're out. As soon as it starts costing us, we say we're ready to pay the cost. But when the cost actually, when the heavenly cash register starts ringing up, when the earthly cash register starts ringing up in our mind and in our spirit and in our lives, all of a sudden, as we see the cash register start ringing up, we say, well, you know what? Maybe I wasn't so excited about that. Maybe I didn't mean what I said when I said I'll be ready no matter what. Because if you say, God, I'll serve you no matter what, I can guarantee you that no matter what will come. Amen? And so here, when these men, I'm going to talk a little about it's okay with y'all if I talk about the United States of America and show the American flag. Is that okay in here? Is it? Yeah, okay. Matter of fact, if y'all don't mind, stand up. Look over at that flag. Put your hand over your heart. Ready? I know some people, this is not even encouraged in some public places anymore, but I believe that God is the reason that America is great. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's the reason. Somebody say, God's the reason. Yeah, this one too. Put it up. I got it up there if you'll look. Never mind. It's too late. Just y'all, let's pledge to the Christian flag. How many knows that one by heart? Yeah, it's in there. I forgot to put it right in. I have it there, but I don't have it there. It's in a separate file. Okay. It's one allegiance to the flag. Right there. That's it. Okay? Here we go. Now we'll have it up here. Pledge allegiance to the flag. Is it up there? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Amen. Put it up. Get that one too. We'll go and get, I got three of them in there. I was loaded for bear this morning. Ready? This is to the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide his words in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. There you go. We got them all three now. Amen. Well, go ahead and get us back into another thing. Talking about patriots. We're talking about getting it done. We're talking about God doing his stuff. Now, I want you to know something. When we declared independence from England, I want you to remember something now. We actually were, for lack of better terms, a ragtag operation compared to England. England at the time was the most powerful army, navy in the world. Didn't have an air force yet. Had some slingshots, but not an air force. England was the mightiest army in the world. The United States was made up of 13 colonies. I'm going to tell you something you might not have known before now, and so if you did, it's fine. If you don't, I want you to listen carefully. Listen now. We declared our independence from England, and when we did, we had to declare our dependence on God. How many know that? You can't find this in history books now because they've been rewritten. But when I was a little boy, this stuff was in the history books. Actual quotes of our forefathers. Benjamin Franklin even said, if a sparrow cannot even fall to the ground and God not knows it, how can a country even survive without his hand? Okay? So watch this. Because the great task ahead would be impossible without a greater power behind us. Amen? Some of us in here right now, you got a great task ahead of you and you wonder, how are we going to get it done? We're not going to get it done by ourselves. We got God. God's here to help us. Amen? So now watch this. It's an amazing statistic. It's just like today. You say, well, I wish we were back in the good old days. But I'm going to tell you something about the good old days. Okay? How many like the good old days when we only had AM station? How many like the good old days when your remote control was me standing there and Daddy says, no, change channels? And the antenna, the rotating antenna was actually me holding it. And if it wouldn't come in, my brother held the other side. And we moved it around for Daddy. How many remember before the microwave? How many remember when most homes didn't even have air conditioners? How many remember when your car, most of the time, they came with Armstrong power steering? And they came with 460 air conditioning. Yeah. See, we got it soft. We're soft. And we complain over some of the stupidest mess we complain about when years ago you'd have thought it was actually a commodity to have. So watch this now. Here's the good old days. Watch the good old days. As after the Americans declared their independence, they had to win it by force. The task proved especially difficult because watch this. One third of the colonists were indifferent. They could care less one way or the other. Whatever. Does that sound like today? Don't matter. The economy's going down. As long as I'm getting a check from Uncle Sam, I'm fine. Number two. One third sympathized with Great Britain. They called themselves loyalists. So now, you got three thirds. There's only three. One-third could care less. One-third was actually for Britain. So it left one-third. 13 colonies against the greatest nation on earth. 13 colonies and only one-third were even willing to stand up and fight. Let me ask you a question. Does it seem like today? You go to work and you start talking to work today and you start talking about how the government's getting liberal and how our rights are being taken away and how stuff's getting shoved down our throat and they go, who cares? What's wrong with that? What if they do take our rights away? We still got rights. We're America. We're the greatest country on earth. One third. The whole victory. to fight in the largest country, I mean, excuse me, not the largest, but the greatest country, the greatest army, the greatest navy with the greatest commanders had to be fought with one third of the population. And of the one third, not everybody could fight because some were too old and some were too young. So now, watch this. 7,200 Americans were killed in battle during the Revolutionary War. 7,200. 8,200 were wounded. 10,000 died from disease and exposure. 3,000 died at Valley Forge. Wow. 1,400 soldiers, or 65, were died in prison after they were captured. 1,400 soldiers were listed as missing. And the minority of colonists that were willing to give it all, they put their lives on the line and they had to totally depend on God and each other. And if they could, I'm telling you, you wouldn't go rent that. It's probably in, what do you call it, Redbox, Dropbox, whatever it's called. You can probably get it. It's called The Sons of Liberty. It's like a 3-hour, 4-hour thing. Go get it. It's about Samuel Adams and those guys. Go get it and look at it. You'll be surprised at some of the stuff those guys had to go through to get. They didn't have walkie-talkies. They didn't have DNA samples. They didn't have all this modern equipment. Most of the time, their rifles only shot one shot, and then they had to use bayonets to fight. Wow. So watch. What about the 56 men who died, who signed the Declaration of Independence? Watch these guys here. Did they pay the price for signing the Declaration of Independence? Did they pay the price for pledging their allegiance? Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for them and their families, but they had to place their total dependence upon God and upon each other. Because watch this. So the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another 2 sons were captured, and 9 of the signers fought and died in the war. Wow. Talk about signing your name in blood. And of course, we keep seeing this big old picture, and John Adams was the one that commissioned it. John Adams got mad when he saw it, when the commission signed the Declaration of Independence, because it shows all the guys gathered together in Philadelphia to do this. And you know what? They didn't all gather together on July 4, 1776. They had to get when they could get there. And so it was a matter of weeks before everybody could get together and would come in separately and sign it. They would come in and sign it. And every time they signed it, they signed their death warrant. I like to see some of our politicians have to do that now. Amen. Oh, come on, that ought to make you boil. Amen. Okay, all I hear about now is golden parachutes. Amen. And how they're taken care of, no matter what. 3 American presidents. You know, this is not trivia, but it is. 3 American presidents died on the 4th of July. 2 died on the 4th of July on the same day. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Those guys both died on July 4th on the same day within hours of each other. And John Adams wanted to die before Thomas Jefferson and thought he had. Something like I beat him and might wind up one beat the other, but still, on the 4th of July, they both died. Then James Monroe died on 4th of July. But watch this. James Monroe, the former president, they told him he was going to die. He only had days to live. And his family instructed the doctors to keep him alive by all means necessary. This chokes me up. Keep him alive by all means necessary so he can die on July the 4th. It meant something. The 4th of July meant something. Why did they do that? Because it meant something. Somebody say it meant something. Now here's our scripture. Of course, we didn't even read our scripture standing. No, that's okay. I'm going to read it right now. I wanted to read it at the end anyway. So we could just start it here. Proverbs 14 and 34. Matter of fact, I want to tell you something. Do you know this is my 3rd message I wrote this week for today? I started out in Revelation 12:11. It migrated to someplace else, and then migrated back to Revelation 12:11, and then it went to Proverbs 14:34, and then it went to Revelation, and then it went back, and it went back about 3 or 4 times. And then yesterday, I spent 12 hours just on this. I said, God, help me not just to give a sermon, but let it be a message. And let it mean something. Because every time I turn on the TV and I keep seeing our rights taken away and taken away and taken away, the American flag is the next one to be taken away from us. And the Christian flag, I've never seen the White House lit up to honor all the veterans that, or all the war did. Never seen them light up to show all the contractors and all the military over in Iraq and Iran, all the stuff they did. When the guys came back from Benghazi, Hillary Clinton just went up to the president didn't even go. And Hillary Clinton went up there and the lady said she was just as cold as she could be. The woman had lost her son. She just walked up and said, just walked up to her and said, it's because of a video, and walked off. And they knew within hours it wasn't a video. I'm telling you, we need to take this stuff seriously, or it's going to be taken away from us. Now, Proverbs 14:34, it explains how our forefathers stood against insurmountable odds, untold suffering, tremendous personal cost. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Wow. That's a powerful statement. I just gone to see Burton, and I left Burton, and right beside Burton just happens to come, I thank God, happens to be a Starbucks right there. And I sat down and got my Bible out, and I got studying, and I ran across this scripture again. And right there in Starbucks, God began to minister. So strong, somebody came in and called my name, and I didn't even hear him. Church, this is our last stand. The only ones that have the answer are not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not Donald Trump. The ones in the United States that's going to put us back is the church. The silent, giant majority. So watch this now. Our forefathers depended on God. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find that in the history book. George Washington, his farewell address to the nation, said, don't let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics. That's George Washington. Thomas Jefferson, who many people say is an atheist, this is what Thomas Jefferson said to the Baptist. And I went to Thomas Jefferson, my wife and I went to Thomas Jefferson's house, and it says, the father, he was the starter or initiator of the separation of church and state. And that thing they throw at us all the time, and they throw it at us at the back door, and they take it and twist it all around and throw it in another way, like the Supreme Court when they were making their judgments a couple weeks ago. They said, well, I know what the people said, but this is not what they meant. Huh? No, I said no to legalizing gay marriage. I said, no for this and no for that. Don't tell me that you're looking at me and telling me that I did not mean what I said. And five guys in robes are going to take everything I said and turn it around. Watch this. Thomas Jefferson. The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state. But that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. Oklahoma right now has already said, take the Ten Commandments off the steps of their Capitol. Wow. John Adams. We have no government arm or power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to be governed of anything other. You gotta have God. It's not the separation of church and state, it's the separation of church and state. It's not the separation of God and state. They all said we gotta keep God. So now, I'm just going to break this down just a little bit. Y'all mind if I break this little bitty one sentence down? Righteousness exalteth a nation. The sin is a reproach. The righteousness of a nation, righteousness, it implies sovereignty. What I mean by sovereignty, if there's going to be a righteousness, then someone sovereign must determine what it is. I can't determine what righteousness is. That's legalism. Every last one of us, we pull out our yardstick and we start looking at each other with our yardstick. That's legalism. And if we got legalism, God's not pleased with that. Righteousness has to be governed by the sovereign, which is God. Psalm 71:19, the righteous also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Psalm 98:2, the Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Those imply sovereignty, imply standard. Society today does not want a standard. They don't even want to acknowledge that a standard exists. That's why they say we came from monkeys. So if we say we came from God, we have to have a standard. We come from monkeys, we don't have to have a standard. If we got Bible in government, then we have to go by a standard. Take the Bible out. If the Bible's in school. How many remember when you were little, I got up every morning in school and I stood up and I said, I turned toward a flag in my classroom. And I said the Pledge of Allegiance. How many remember that? Then how many remember this? And then after that, somebody would come over to intercom and would read a scripture. Y'all remember that? I remember that. Then after they read the scripture, many times they'd even give a little devotion. Every morning. I remember that. Amen. And you know what? When they were doing that, the biggest problem was chewing gum in school and shooting people rubber bands, which I was probably one of the greatest culprits of them all. And spitballs, I could spit them with the best of them. You look over my desk, you'd see spitballs and all kinds of things stuck up in that ceiling. Matter of fact, I was so cool. How many remember that? What's the name of the school in Stonewall? I don't know what it is anymore. They keep changing the names. But I went to Stonewall School, the middle school, whatever the school is. And I was up on the, I'd be up top. And I remember Daddy used to get me those meat packing rubber bands. All the other guys had those little rubber bands they had to buy from the store or had to steal from the teacher, little bitty things. I had a great big meat packing rubber band. And I'd get me a sucker and I'd eat that sucker off and I'd take that stick and I'd bend that stick and I'd get up on top. If anybody tells you this was done to them, don't tell them I did it. And I'd get up and see how many heads I could rock. I know y'all say, I know you're a preacher, but I ain't always been a preacher. Amen. I remember that day I walked into Miss Potter's class and everybody's in there reading. And I took a milk carton and I stuck it by a trash can. I said, I wonder how loud it would be in here if I kicked that thing. And Baber School with all that cement was really loud because I didn't realize how loud it was going to be because I went pop. And everybody stopped writing and reading. Except for me, I wrote 1,000 times, I will not. I will not stand in Miss Potter's class and put a milk carton on the floor, fold it up, and stomp it and make a noise that disturbs everybody. I had to do it 1,000 times. Amen. That's why my penmanship's so bad. Okay. Psalm 119, thy righteous everlasting righteous. But see, but now watch this. They replaced that. Once they took the prayer out of school, that stuff was gone. Now people are being raped. There's drugs being sold. Think of all the stuff that's going on in schools now because the Bible was taken out. And think about this. Now they got undercover police in there trying to figure out who's selling drugs and who's doing what. And we went to, when we were adopting Beth, and we had to get checked out by the FBI, and so we stop at Johnson County Sheriff's Office, and we're getting fingerprinted. Me and DC and Daniel and Beverly, and as we're getting fingerprinted, I overheard them talking, and they said they were going to do a drug raid. I mean, check not a drug raid, but they're going to check all the lockers at South Johnson High School, 4A school. They said, but they had to give them a 2-day notice. I'm going looking for drugs. And I got to give you a 2-day notice before I go into your school and break and go into lockers? Uh-huh. Yeah, how's that working out for you? The founding fathers held the Bible in high esteem. It also, I'm hurrying up, straightness is one thing to admit there's a standard. It's another thing to make that standard your own. Exalteth the nation. I love this. This is why we've done so good. The word exalteth the nation means to be set apart. One meaning of the word exalt means to be lifted up and to be made high. Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Psalm 37, 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. There is no nation in history that has been lifted up as great as the United States of America. Safe. That word exalt also means to raise high as an inaccessible fortress, to be out of the reach of danger. Psalm 32 and 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou preserve me from trouble. Thou compass me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 119 and 414 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Many nations have been destroyed by thy enemies or natural disasters. But guess what's happening to us the last couple of years? Have we seen a rise of natural disasters? Have we seen a rise in some weird weather? Have we seen some rise in workplace crime and violence? Have we seen all kinds of things going on and we're going, why is all of a sudden all this stuff's happening? It's because we're pushing God further and further and further away. God says, you pull me to you and I will protect you. You push me away and that's what you're going to get. Amen? So now, also, it means strong. Another shade meaning of this word, exalt, means to triumph over your enemies. Now, I want you to watch this now. I wrote a lot of words here. A mere glance at the history of America will reveal the hand of God's protection watching over us in war and in peace. Think of the odds of the colonies defeating the most powerful nation in the 18th century, the British Empire. But it happened. Don't take our victory for granted. Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Almost through. Somebody said, praise God. Y'all sounded too eager to say that. But sin is a reproach. First, sin is an undisciplined aim. It means to miss the mark as an archer misses his target. Now, we've all come short. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here that stands on your own without God's help. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in this day and time when the Supreme Court and our nation and some of the people in our nation shake their fist in defiance to God and to His Word. That's when God gets angry. And that's when, as we shake our fist, can you imagine? I remember as I was little. I mean, not as I was little, but when I was little, I remember one time Daddy come after me. I was about 4 years old. I really remember this. Daddy come to me and told me something. My daddy's 6'1", 6'2", big old man. He's not so big anymore, but of course I caught him. And then I got youngest that caught me. Amen. Or caught up with me. Let me change that. Here I was about this tall, and I told him, no! And I stood there in my defiance. I'm 2 foot tall. My daddy's 6 foot two. I weighed 20 pounds. My daddy weighed 220 pounds. And I stood there on my ground. And I stood my ground. And I said, no! And it's kind of like the rest was a blur. Except for the part where I went running around the yard. We had a fenced-in yard. I went running from Daddy. Of course, my legs are going, and Daddy's going. It was stupid enough to go, no! It's even stupider to be in a fenced-in yard trying to run from your Daddy, and you're taking baby steps, and he's just every... But the last thing I remember... And I wake up at night sometimes thinking about this. I kid you not. That was the first time I remember Daddy taking me by the hand and just holding it as he spanked me. And I realized that it was easier to run around that fence than to run around like this while he's getting me. But you know what? I never did this anymore. No! I went, yes, sir. You tell me. Well, you see, we've got people in the nation now seeing God's Word, say, move the Word out of the way, and they're looking up at God and going, no! Like, that's going to do something? You're going to challenge God and think God is just going to go back and go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That Bible is meant for everybody but you. No. We're great. Our nation's great because we serve a great God and follow His great commandments. Amen? So now, here it is, disgraced. So reproach means to be disgraced. It means to be brought low, to go from heights to depths. Nehemiah 1 and 3 says, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. The gates thereof are burnt with fire. Israel's sin had caused them to be put in captivity and their capital stood in ruins. The cycle is happening again. The other night when I looked up, there's some people that are going to think I'm crazy when I say this. I might even get offended when I say this. I say it everywhere. When I looked up at the White House, and it was painted like a rainbow. And I think about the Benghazi guys coming back, and they couldn't even go talk to them, the parents. And I think about some of the guys coming back over in there with their bodies. And honestly, some of the guys that died in Afghanistan and Iraq, they were actually sent a letter that was a stamped letter. Stamped. Can you imagine being the parent? Your kid died for his country, and you get a generic letter that's got a stamp from the Secretary of Defense, or stamped from Hillary Clinton, or stamped from our president. But the White House can be lit up in all those colors. And tweeted out, love wins. The cycle is happening again. God raised up some Nehemiahs that can lead us out. Right now, every last one of us, our prayer should be, God, let me be a Nehemiah. God, let me be a Nehemiah. Watch this, because here's what's coming. Another definition for reproach is dishonored. It means to be ridiculed, to rail on, or revile. 1 Samuel 17:26 says, is David, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of Israel? Israel was powerless in the face of Goliath as he mocked the army. They were scared to death. They were running, they were hiding, they were scared. Let me tell you something. I think about us now. The Muslim nations laugh at us. They laugh. We're making deals with Iran right now. You know what they said they're going to do? The president's so eager to leave a legacy, which he has not done. He's so eager to leave a legacy. By the way, George Bush's approval rating is a lot higher than Obama's. Got real quiet. He's so eager to have a legacy that he's going to make a deal with Iran with nuclear weapons that we're not even going to have the ability to go in and inspect his nation. No other nation has had these deals. They all had to give up. They had to be able to be inspected. They had to be able to be spot checked. They had to be able to show all their stuff on the table. And these guys are going, no! And he's so eager to get something on a piece of paper that they're going to do it anyway. And the other Arab nations are going, have you lost your mind? The Muslim nations don't respect us anymore. China does not respect us. They own us. You know, when you pay tolls on the highway, you're thinking you're paying tolls to get the roads fixed. There's a lot of tolls when you're paying a toll on the highway. The big major highways, that money isn't getting there for you to get your roads fixed. That money is there to pay China back that debt. Did you know that? Russia could care less because we keep going, Don't cross that line. Okay, don't cross that line. Okay, don't cross that line. Okay, don't cross that line. I remember years ago, I was so proud to be an American. And I remember when Ronald Reagan didn't even draw the line. He just said, buds, if y'all don't want to become a mud puddle, you better tighten up. And they did. Because they knew we meant business. Now nobody has respect for us. Defeated. Here's my final one. I want to show a video. Defeated. That word reproach means to pluck or strip away all that is good. Our culture is in the process of doing that. We can't put Ten Commandments on the wall. We can't wear Christian shirts to school. Some places they actually sent kids home to change their shirts because they wore an American flag. An American flag. A shirt that had an American flag on it sent home because they had a shirt that had an American flag on it. You can't talk about Christ. I do like the way they had that graduation that time that said they couldn't pray. This is a true story. They said they couldn't pray at the graduation. They said you cannot pray at this graduation or we'll shut the thing down. So they said, okay. And they went, and what happened was at the end of the graduation, it was all set up. A couple of the students went, "Achoo!" And when it did, everybody out there said, "God bless you." They prayed anyway. Our defeat, listen carefully. I know this might not be the greatest. You're saying, wow, I feel like you ain't been beat down. I'm not beating you down. I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about what's happening in the country. We got to look at it. We got to see it. We got to wake up. We got to smell the roses. It's here. It's now. It's happening in our way. And it's not just on Fox News. It's happening. It's here. You can hear it. You can turn on any political station and listen to these guys talk, and it'll drive you up the wall to hear some of the stuff. Sometimes I think that some of the government stuff, local and regional and state and national, is run by the cabinet members are Larry, Curly, and Moe. Listen, our defeat has not come at the hands of foreign invaders, but our own. I want y'all to watch this. This is coming quickly. More quickly.
Dad, has it always been this way?
Well, even from the beginning, men hated Jesus. Even though he did nothing but love them and teach them and heal them, they nailed him to a cross. They thought they had killed him, but they only set him free to live in the hearts of people like you and me who believe in him. Then came the apostles, and most of them were killed for telling other people about Jesus. But by that time, it was too late. There were hundreds of people who believed in Jesus. So they tortured them and killed them, and they even left their bodies to rot as an example to other people. But the church kept right on growing, watered by the blood of these precious saints.
But Dad, did they want to die?
No. They didn't want to die. I mean, many of them had children just like you that they had to leave behind. But they were forced to make a choice. I mean, they could choose to live this one life here on earth and reject Jesus and be damned. Or they could choose to believe in the words of Jesus and live forever.
I think I understand.
Yeah. Maybe this will help you understand.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, died, the Son of God, they would not deny the great angelic choirs. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will sing to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our life for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sound on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will sing to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who bore my shame. I will seek to honor His calling. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
You've got to remember that it wasn't always this way. I mean, my dad could even pray in school. Of course, they took that away from him, and then it became incorrect for us to believe in the Bible. And after that, they just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But son, I hope that you're never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know which choice you're going to make, because I know that Jesus lives inside of you. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. Take care of your mom. And remember that God is the Father of the fatherless.
To the Lamb.
in a day when God is actually a bother to us. In a day when we just put God to our convenience. It won't be long. He's going to say, I won't be in your way anymore. Because He was such an inconvenience to us, we allowed the world to take Him away. And there's coming a day soon. This is happening all over the world right now. Not happening here, but it's happening all over the world. There was a place in Russia, and I'm trying to hurry up. I know it's getting late. Please forgive me. There's a place in Russia where they found some Christians, and they took the Christians, and they said, will you denounce Christ? And they said, no. And this is in Siberia. It's very cold. And so they took, there was like five men. They took them up to this one little point where this one guard was in a guardhouse. And they took them, and they stripped them and put them out in that snow. And said, if you renounce Christ, you can come back in. And the guard sat there with his rifle. This is a true story. As he stood there with his rifle, he began to watch them one by one freeze to death and drop. Of the five guys, the fifth one saw those guys freezing like him and saw them dropping to the ground. And so he said, I can't take it anymore. I've got to renounce Christ. And so he started, the best he could, started walking back to the guard shack saying, I renounce Christ. I renounce Christ. And the guard ran out to him and threw down his gun. And he said, stop! 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 And the guy says, but I renounce. He said, stop! He said, you don't understand. He said, I watched every one of your friends as they fell to the ground. An angel came out of the sky and escorted them into God's presence. And he said, your angel was hovering over you when you renounced Jesus. Here's the answer, and I'm closing. The Bible says when they were dedicating the temple, we've been talking about Pentecost. Well, the Old Testament dedicated the temple, which was equivalent to the day of Pentecost, and we'll talk about it later on. But he says, as Solomon's praying, God's answering. And he says, if I shut up, first the 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, if I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command a locust to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. That's what's happening all over the world. Matter of fact, Greece right now, at this very moment, is making a vote. And it's half and half. And however they decide this vote, it'll affect our pocketbooks Monday. Okay? Monday. Greece has the economy the size of South Carolina. But yet, that economy, however they vote, is going to affect our pocketbooks Monday. That's how global we are now. If my people, who's his people? Us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Here's the dilemma. And this has happened in my life. Here's the dilemma. My life dries up. How many here has ever had your life dry up? Sometimes it dries up because of something going around and everybody's getting it. And sometimes it's going, my life dries up because of this right here, a detour, because my life is driven by self. He said, my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Actually, it means if they'll quit doing it their way and do it my way. Wicked ways don't always mean that it's bad, but wicked ways means that it's self. So if they'll quit doing it their way, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Excuse me. The dilemma, my life dries up because my life is driven by self. Dependence, once I put my dependence back on God, then comes deliverance. He will hear, He forgives, and He heals. God isn't standing over here waiting to beat you up. He's not waiting to beat you down. You're not watching you climb the rung on a ladder. He's not hitting your hands. God wants us to succeed more than we want to succeed. God wants to be closer to you than you want to be closer to Him. God wants you to have His power more than you want to have it. God wants your life to be awesome more than you want it to be awesome. But we got to do it His way. His way. His way. Not push Him to the side. What we're going to do is, y'all come here and play something. Come on, fellas. Come play something. Here's what we're going to do. As they play, I just want us all that will to come on up. The world and Satan is trying their best to take God totally out of the way so they can win. As long as God's in the way, they can't win. God wants us to trust Him, to give it to Him. Everybody stand. I never thought I'd live to see this day that we're in, this mess that we're in. That's why the Andy Griffith Show is so popular. That's why Happy Days is so popular, because it goes back to an older time when things seemed to be a lot simpler. God wants us to trust Him. Quit putting Him on the back burner. Quit letting Him be an inconvenience and trust Him. Everybody that will, come on up. They'll start playing something in a minute. But come on up. God is greater than any problem you got. And God can help you. We can help turn this around. We can help turn this around. We. Matter of fact, the church is the only thing that can turn this thing around. The church is the only thing that can turn this thing around. Father, I love You, Lord. I praise Your name. I thank You, God, for all that You do for us, Lord. I thank You, God, for ministering through us and to us, Father. I ask You right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, be the church. Help us quit putting You on the back burner and letting You be an inconvenience to us, Lord. Father, help us, God, to get back in there, to get back in there, to trust You, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to get back in there and give it all we got, Lord. You're not an inconvenience to us, Lord. That cross wasn't not. You didn't consider that cross an inconvenience. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Help us, Lord. Get our eyes off ourselves, Lord, and get our eyes on a field that's white and ready for harvest. Get our eyes off ourselves, Lord, and get our eyes on each other to help and to be there. God, You're not an inconvenience in our life, Lord. Father, help us not be concerned about how to make room for an hour a week with You, Lord. Instead, help us, God, be concerned how we can make our lives count for You, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. We praise Your name. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, You're awesome. You're awesome, God. You're awesome, Father. You're awesome. Help me, God, to give You my all. Lord, they're getting ready to take it away. It's coming. They're trying their best to get in churches and control them. It's coming. I ask You right now, Lord, to help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, to move forward. To move forward, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, help me get my eyes off of me. Lord, help me get my eyes off of what's in it for me. And Lord, help me keep my eyes on you. And Father, help me not wonder how I can work you in an hour or two a week. But God, help me figure out how I can just give myself to you, period. They're coming. They're taking it away. They're taking it away. I can't say it loud enough. I can't say it strong enough. They're taking you away. We are the answer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's sing that chorus. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! God is bigger than any problem you've got. And if you'll stand for him, he's got your back. He'll back you. And remember, yes, Russia's powerful. Yes, the Muslims are powerful. Yes, China's powerful. But they are created. We serve the Creator. Amen? I challenge you this week to quit thinking about how you can work in a couple of hours a week to worship him and change that to God, how can I give myself to you? Give me back that excitement, God. You say, well, God, I've lost that excitement. Well, it's like the man had been married with a woman for 50 years and they're riding down the road on the 50th anniversary. And he looks over at his wife. His wife looks at him. She said, and he's driving the truck. And she goes, you know, 50 years ago, you used to sit by me. And he said, I didn't move. God didn't move. Y'all hear that? God didn't move. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, that's bad when you're allergic to artificial flowers. Brother Frank, we just missed us in prayer, please.